Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in health, science, and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. Later in the show, the Aurora Borealis made a rare appearance in Missouri skies this week. We'll hear from a few of the people who managed to see it. But first, children are spending more and more time staring at computer screens, video game consoles, televisions, or mobile phones. And many parents are trying to figure out just how to raise a child who has an understanding of both technology and a healthy lifestyle. KBIA's Kelly Geringer has this story.
Trying to get past all the levels.
Miles Clark is 6 years old and well-versed in technology. He started with PlayStation 2, moved on to Xbox 360, and is now trying to master Angry Birds.
I play Toy Soldiers, and I also play Lego Ninja Go computer game. It's a computer game.
He wants to make a big leaf pile and jump in it, and I promise we're going to do that at some point.
Mom Lisa Bruce and Dad Guy Clark say sometimes it's hard to pull Miles away from his games.
He gets sucked in, you know, like anybody that plays games, he gets sucked in and can be not attentive and can have difficulty with, okay, it's your 15 minutes is up, or it's dinner time, you know, or it's time to go to bed.
But today isn't about technology for the Bruce Clark family.
What you doing?
They're getting some fresh air in the park. Lisa Bruce says she and her husband try to find alternatives to keep Miles active.
We swim at Stevens Lake all summer.
Go to the play area if it's too hot, too cold, or rainy at the mall because it's a place for them to burn off some energy. Because he has to.
Being physical isn't always that easy, considering the tempting amount of wireless options kids have. A 2010 Kaiser Family Foundation study found that 5 years ago, young people spent nearly 6.5 hours a day with media. And that's increased to 7.5 hours, not including multitasking. In fact, the use of every type of media, video games, computers, TV, has increased. Ann Cohen is a nutrition specialist at MU. She says increased use of media has led to a lack of exercise.
When kids were outside playing, there maybe wasn't such an effort on the parents' part to have to plan or schedule physical activity. Now they really need to counterbalance the amount of time that people spend sitting engaged with media.
Technology has created a paradox in the family. A cell phone opens a window of communication, but it also invites the opportunity to be less social. Lisa works with computers as an information architect at MU, so she understands how technology can get between family members. She says putting her droid away at dinner time is one way she teaches Miles to keep technology and family separate.
I want him to understand that the people sitting there with me are more important than the thing in my hand. And I can talk about it till the cows come home, but what he's going to learn is what we do.
It turns out eating together isn't just a social benefit. Cohen says families that eat together actually tend to make healthier food choices.
The time that families would spend eating around the table, research shows that the kids are more likely to eat fruits and vegetables when they eat together as a family.
Besides eating meals together, the Bruce Clark family tries to monitor Miles' involvement with technology to teach him not to abuse it.
We set really specific time limits. You know, we don't just let him park and play for endless amounts of time because I don't think that's good either.
Cohen says the key to the relationship of technology and family lies in a healthy balance.
So there's really wonderful things that the media offers to young people. But the balance like that is that parents need to set limits on the amount of time. They need to engage in media with their children. And they need to have alternative to the sitting, so encouraging the physical activity.
That balance is key. Technology is impacting not only family dynamics, but how humans interact to form connections to each other. For now, the Bruce Clark family will continue to look for ways to connect in the real world.
The virtual world is amazing, and we can do incredible stuff there, but it's not real.
Because it's mediated.
Mm-hmm.
It's mediated experience. It's not full alive in the world, in the flesh experience.
Today, that means playing Troll Under the Bridge at Stevens Lake Park.
We've been feeding the troll
for years.
And there's not an angry bird in sight.
We throw in acorns or rocks for the troll.
Any bridge you can.
Kelly Geringer, KBIA News.
On Tuesday night, people across the Midwest witnessed a rare and beautiful sight, the Northern Lights blazing across the skies. On social networks and local news channels, people expressed amazement, but it was just another day for the astronomy enthusiasts known as Aurora Hunters. KBA's Amrita Jayakumar has this story.
The aurora borealis, or northern lights, as the phenomenon is commonly known, is usually seen from the Arctic. It's a mysterious haze of red and green that covers the night sky.
The best aurora I've seen ever have been in November, the ones in 2001 and 2004.
Val Gorman is treasurer of the Central Missouri Astronomical Association, a group of amateur astronomers. Gorman has seen so many auroras that he has favorites.
The whole northern horizon was red and even a little green, a streak of red that and slightly green that detached and went almost directly overhead, which I've never seen before or since.
So what exactly is this phenomenon known as the northern lights? The answer has to do with the sun. The sun goes through an 11-year cycle of magnetic activity that rises and falls. It continuously sends a stream of particles towards the Earth. When the activity increases, the sun sends even more particles. Now, most of these are deflected by the Earth's magnetic field, but some of them collide with gases in the Earth's atmosphere, and that's what causes the northern lights. Gorman's group meets every Wednesday at Columbia's Laws Observatory.
There has to be an event on the sun first, and now the sun is monitored very closely, and when one of these flares happens and material is ejected toward the Earth, it takes 24 to 36 hours for it to get here. So you have a little warning now. For about the last 10 to 15 years with the Internet and everything, now you don't get surprised unless you just are not looking like I was.
Angela Speck is director of astronomy at the University of Missouri. She says it's easier to spot auroras on this side of the Earth.
The magnetic field of the Earth is a little bit like a bar magnet. I don't know if you ever remember playing with a bar magnet in school, but you know, you've got basically things are attracted to the north and south poles. And so it falls down there, but if it's a really energetic burst, it can come lower and lower down. Now, the north magnetic pole is actually in Canada. It's not at the North Pole, so it's on this side of the planet. I grew up at 54 degrees north in England, and I now live at 40 degrees north, but I'm more likely to see aurora here than I am in England because the pole is on this side of the planet.
Speck says that changes in the Earth's magnetic field could mean more sightings of the aurora in the future. That's good news for people like Gorman, who are always looking for their next glimpse of the celestial fireworks. For KBIA, I'm Amrita Jayakumar.
That's Another Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thanks so much for listening. You can find these stories and many more on KBIA.org.